Worship is not a ritual. Worship's not just music. It's not just strong emotions. It's not about the songs being sung, not about the size of the band, and it's not about how great or not the band sounds. And so just to let you guys know, see this big picture up here? We've been having meetings and brainstorming and been like totally psyched out about this worship night, and we had like a monster set list prepared, and it was just like crazy, all this stuff and practice and all the things that go into making a spectacular worship night. And guess what happened? Yesterday, which was supposed to be practice, like a massive water pipe broke. This is awesome. And so anyway, guess what? The team couldn't practice. So we're like last minute working on stuff, and here I'm preparing this outline, right? And it's not, worship's not about the music, worship's not about this, worship's not about that. And I had to personally keep that in mind, because we knew what we wanted, and yet right off the bat, that's challenged my belief about, Heather, where is your heart with worship? And we have, this team is amazing. Can y'all just give it up for the worship team? Seriously, because talk about like last minute and the pressure being on, and they're amazing and they're anointed, and they're doing worship night for us, even though there were lots of roadblocks in the way. So we're still going to have an awesome worship night. I'm just telling y'all behind the scenes what happened and how even the very first point of what I was studying was challenged. And so did y'all encounter the presence of God during worship? Did you meet him? Talk to him? Hear from him? If you didn't yet, you will before the night's over. Let me tell you what worship, this can be a definition of worship. Regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. Worship is an outward expression of our love toward God. It's visible by our actions and not just our words. You guys know the story in the Bible of the widow's mite? You guys familiar with that? Where she gave, you know, the equivalent of a few pennies? Someone else could go by and put like, you know, a $100 bill in, and if they had $1 million, would the $100 be a lot? This side, okay. Would that be a lot if they had $1 million? But what about the widow that was all she had when she put that in? Was that a lot? Okay, so you can't judge someone on the outside of what's going on, because you don't know what's going on the inside, okay? So during worship, just because someone's like busting all the moves they know up here, like they exhaust them all. They don't have anything left in the can because they used them all right here. Just because you're seeing that, is that a sign of worship? Not always. That's exactly the right answer. But at the same time, that can be some serious worship if someone is like overcoming fear of what people think of them, correct? And the Lord's been talking to them about, hey, I really want you to bust out in worship, and I want you to give me all you got. Okay? Same action, two different things going on in the heart. And can we see people's hearts? Huh? We think we can sometimes, but can we see people's hearts? No. Who sees the heart? God. God is always concerned about the heart. Worship is described in John 4:23. If we could get that up on the screens. This is a really cool scripture. If you guys take away one scripture from tonight, take this one. This is a really cool setting in the Bible. You guys heard the story of the woman at the well when Jesus encounters her? You guys heard that story? If somebody doesn't raise their hand, I'm going to have to tell the whole story. So are you guys familiar with the story of the woman at the well? I knew I'd get some hands up. All right. This is cool. Jesus says this. Jesus' lips said this. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father's looking for those who will worship him that way. This is what stood out to me in this scripture. And if you have a Bible or whatever, like, underline this. The Father's looking for those. It didn't say he was looking for the worship. He's looking for those that will worship him that way. Okay? And the cool thing about this story, like, if you keep on reading, Jews and Samaritans, which the lady he's talking to at the well, she was a Samaritan. They did not mix. They didn't hang out. They didn't cross those lines. Okay? And she said, she was talking about how the Jews and Samaritans believe there's to worship in different places. Okay? And she said, but I know there's one coming that will make us all understand all of this. And she was talking about the Messiah. And Jesus said to her, I am the Messiah. Okay? I love that Jesus addressed true worship and true worshipers, and he did it face to face with her. And at that moment, like, he had been reading all her mail at the well. Like, he was telling her stuff that she's like, I don't know how. I mean, I know this guy's a prophet, but what's up? He knows about my past. He knows about my relationships. Blah, 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 blah. This is weird. When he said, I am the Messiah, all of a sudden, her eyes were opened and she saw something that she hadn't seen before. And this is the deal. It affected her so much to the place that she took off and ran back to her little village or community or whatever, got a bunch of people, and they came back. And I love that Jesus was talking about worshipers at this point. Brought all the people back because the people heard what she said, but guess what they wanted? They wanted proof. They wanted face-to-face. And it said the people came back, and as Jesus talked to all of them, those people both heard with their own ears and saw with their own eyes, and they believed. So we can grab from that story lots of stuff, but what I want us to grab is when Jesus was talking about, I'm looking for those that will worship me in spirit and in truth, he was talking about, I want those that will see me, I want those that will hear me, and I want those that will connect to me with their heart. It's the only way you can worship him is by your spirit. That's why he said in spirit and in truth. And he demonstrated it right there with those people that day. With her first, face to face with Jesus, which is how we worship. And then when she brought the crowd back, eyes were opened, ears were opened. They encountered the Messiah and they believed and they were never the same. This is true worship. So face-to-face time with God when we worship him changes us and changes what's around us. And this is the thing, guys. The catalyst. Do I have any really smart people in here that know what a catalyst is? Can you give me a simple def? Yes. Something that starts reaction. Yes, let me give you my dictionary app definition. An agent, this is going to be a lot more, you know, official sounding. An agent that speeds or provokes significant change. So yes, what you said. Your heart in worship is the catalyst between you and God. You come up, or whatever. It doesn't even have to be worship here. We label the time during service we play music and sing to God and close our eyes. We label that worship, but worship is much more than that. You're worshiping something right now as you're sitting in your seat. Wherever your heart's focusing right now is what you're choosing to exalt. Sorry about that. God will heal your toes that I just stepped on. I'm guilty of it too. I have to refocus myself. You know what I'm talking about? Squirrel. It's like you're paying attention really good and you're feeling like I'm strong, man. I'm like I'm a really strong Christian. I'm totally digging this message. And then you're thinking about what you're going to have for lunch tomorrow at school. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anybody? But worship's a choice. Do I get a witness? Because you can go, oh, I can take care of my lunch later. I'm going to finish paying attention to God right now. You just shifted what you were worshiping. That was just a little tip in case you were making your sandwich in your head. Okay. Where was I? Catalyst. You can do all kinds of funky dancing. You can be a really amazing singer. You can know all the songs and even know how you should sway to which song that comes on. And when it's time to put the one hand on the heart and the other one straight up during worship. Are you worshiping? You might be. I'm not knocking that. It's okay. I've covered my heart during worship, mostly because I don't know what to do with the other hand when the one's straight up. It feels awkward. Do you know what I'm saying? And if you put it in your pocket, it's going to be like, oh, she's not serious. Do you know what I'm talking about? So I'm not knocking. Now, we're going to come back up in a little bit. Nobody's going to put their hand on their heart. Or all y'all will. I know how y'all work. Do you know what I'm saying, though? But it's your heart. And what your heart's doing and what your heart's focused on, that's the catalyst in worship. If your heart is not connected to your Father, it's not true worship. That's why you can't judge by what people are doing. Have you ever seen like or been in worship during a super fast song and somebody's sitting on the ground and maybe they're crying or like, it's not a slow song. What are they doing? Or maybe it's a really slow song and somebody's over there just like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what's going on? You don't know. But God sees the heart. And that person over there busting the moves in the middle of the slow song, they may be really hooked up with God at that moment. You don't know what's going on. And you know what? Someone else could look really holy standing around them and be totally missing the presence of God. What's the diff? The heart. It's the heart. That's why Jesus said, the true worshiper worships in spirit and in truth. Now, I want to give you guys one other thought. I just noticed the clock's not ticking. How long do I have? I thought that was counting down. Can y'all flash me some fingers? 3, 10, 5. I'm like, wait a minute. I said all that in 3 seconds? That's not right. Just give me something later. This is the deal, too, about worship. God is after one thing. You can have all kinds of talent. You can have all kinds of skill. And he loves that. You know what? He gave it to you in the first place. He loves that about you. He gave you that. But he doesn't need it. There's one thing that God is after, especially when we have a time like this where we come to the altar to meet him. He is after you. He's after your heart. And no one else can give that to him but you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your boyfriend or your girlfriend can't do it for you. Your friend can't do it for you. You are the only one that can do that. You guys are probably familiar with a lot of stories out of the Bible about David. He was the squirt of the family. He was overlooked. He was out in the field all the time. There's not a whole lot in the Bible that tells us that would make him, like, really popular or, you know what I'm saying? Okay? But God saw something different in him. God said this, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. God saw David's heart and his ready obedience, and he responded to David in an amazing way. At some point, he was over the sheep. God put him in a place where he was over kingdoms. Why? Because he had a heart that was after God. In fact, there's a story in 2 Samuel. I won't go through the whole story. You can look it up. But I love this one little tiny part And if you read it too fast, you'll miss it. But David was going to make this massive sacrifice to God. And it was really, if you read the story, it's really because of some sin in his life. But this guy offered him like the place to do it, the building to do it, all of the sacrifice, the just, I've never done a sacrifice, so I don't know all the details about sacrificing, but if you read the story in 2 Samuel, it lists some things in there that were very costly, okay? And this guy's like, here, just take all of this and you can have it for your sacrifice. That would have been very convenient, okay? Would have been very convenient, but what did David say? No. You know why? Man, his character, I love it. He said, I won't sacrifice anything to my God that didn't cost me. There's the heart of worship right there. Because when we get in the presence of God, and I don't mean a song that gives you goosebumps, okay? I don't mean the new song that comes out that you put on repeat that drives your family insane, that you've heard so many times you can do all the guitar riffs in your head. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you come to meet the Lord, when you come to meet God, He wants all of you to come. It's what David did. He brought the good, bad, and the ugly. And he said, I'm not taking that for free. It's got to cost me. And he paid for all of it, and he did it all himself. So when we come to the Lord to connect with him, there's times in God's presence where it's like, dude, I'm just totally refreshed. Wow. I feel like every place in me that was tired is filled up and pumped up now. And there's other times we come to the presence of God and the Lord's been waiting to talk to us. And there may be times in worship where he starts talking to you or showing you something, or maybe you've been asking him for answers. Maybe you haven't been asking him and he's had them for you anyway. And you come to him in worship and that situation keeps coming to your mind while you're trying to do this and just have a good time and something keeps coming. What is that? God's trying to talk to you. What's the block? You left all that stuff way behind and you brought just part of you to worship. You brought just the parts that were cleaned up or just the parts that were okay. And the Lord's saying, nope, I want this to cost you something. When you come, I want you to bring all of you. You know why? Because when God meets you and you allow his presence to consume what you're thinking and you allow your heart to connect with him and you force your body to demonstrate praise and worship to him, do you know what's going to happen? He's going to consume that thing you bring. Okay, this is the church part of what the Old Testament did when they brought junk to the, you know, and sacrificed, and what happened? The fire came and burned it up. So worship, there are so many facets of what can happen when you come to the presence of God. But you know what the best part is? When you bring your heart, guess what part he brings? The part you need the most. You don't even have to figure out what it is. You just come and he already knows. Even if you think, I need X, Y, Z, and I need this, and I need that, and I'm having problems with that, and I could really use some tutoring in English. You can bring all those things, and God knows that it's a integrity issue in your life. And guess what he's going to show you when you're in his presence? He's going to show you about integrity. Or if you struggle with self-worth. Guess what he's going to come and meet you at the altar with? Your worth. So I challenge you, not just tonight because it's worship night, but I'm challenging you every time you have that time set aside, you can get alone with God. Bring it all. I dare you to bring it all. I dare you to bring it all. I dare you to completely and totally, 100%, just give yourself over. I know, and I am totally confident because I do it often, did it today, that when you're willing to do that, you will walk away different. The woman at the well did. Totally different. And not just her, but guess what happened when she went back to her normal, ordinary place? What happened to those people? They got their eyes open too. Their ears got open too. And they believed. That was even before Jesus made the sacrifice. That was before he even did the work. How much more? How much more when we bring our hearts to God? I want to challenge you guys that every time you have the opportunity to worship, I want to challenge you specifically here at your church, at your 1440. I want you to view worship time as an invitation from God himself. Okay? You're going to have to choose. When you get invited somewhere, you have to decide if you're going or not. You can't go and not go. If you're going to go, you're going to go. I want you to view it as an invitation. Because this is the deal. Your body can walk up here, but if your heart stays in your seat, you didn't respond. God's presence right here. Right here. And you can walk into it and leave your heart on the seat and miss what he has for you. Is it worth it? I know I'm being rough on y'all. You know why? Because I love you a lot. Is it worth it? Is it worth leaving your heart on the seat? No, it's not. I want to close with this. Anybody in here heard the story of Mary when she went and poured her perfume on Jesus? Anybody? Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, well, here it comes. I'm going to give you the drive-through version because my clock just went to zero. This is the cool thing about the story. How many of you guys know that the same stories are in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Do you know, like, when I gave my life to God and started reading the Bible, I'm like, this is weird. I just read this in a different book. Why is it in here twice? And then I would, like, read the next, and I read, it was like almost a year, and I heard someone preaching telling that it was just, like, different people. I'm like, oh, so Matthew actually wrote Matthew. Oh, this makes sense now. So that was an answer to some of you that are wondering, and you don't want to, like, raise your hand. Anyway, the story's in every single one of them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's significant. It's rare you find the same story in all four. Okay? And in two of the books, Jesus even said, hey, this is going to be marked, and people are going to know about her. He didn't just say about the story. He said about her. Okay, so the deal is, he goes over to the guy's house for dinner, bunch of people around. Mary comes in. Mary had a rough, hard life, harder than anyone that's sitting in these seats, I can guarantee it. And she brought a box. And this box was full of perfume. You couldn't get it at the Estee Lauder counter. It wasn't $55 for half an ounce. This perfume was worth a year's wages back then. So if I had one now, it could be worth anywhere between maybe like $25,000 to $100,000. One box. And these boxes were even sealed. Okay, that was so precious what was in it that there was a hole drilled in the top so they could just get a tiny bit out at a time and didn't lose it all. Okay? And she brought that. And one account in the scripture says that as she was weeping, she broke the box and poured it all on him. One account says poured it, started at his head and got to the place that it was on his feet as she was weeping, kissing his feet and letting her hair down and using it as a towel to clean his dirty feet. The people in the room were not happy about what she did. I think there were some people that were jealous that she thought of it first, and she was willing to waste that on Jesus. There were other people that thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe Jesus is letting that horrible sinner, one account says, touch him. Jesus even answered that man's thoughts. He didn't even say that. He said Jesus perceived what he was thinking and addressed his thoughts. And listen to the story that Jesus gave. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 to the other. Okay, so 550. Neither of them could repay the man, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Which one would have loved the man more? The one with 500 or 50? Y'all are smart. Come on, give it to me. 500. Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman, and then he said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't even offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. But she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the first time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of oil to anoint me, but she's anointed my feet with a rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, Jesus said. He knew. They've been forgiven. Now listen to this. She has shown me much love. What was Jesus connected to? Her heart. But a person who is forgiven little shows a little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And the men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I don't want to be the guy that when Jesus comes in, I don't even think to offer him water. I don't want to be the guy. I want to be her. I want to be, when I have the opportunity to encounter Jesus, that I'm ready to break the box. Every time. It doesn't just have to be one time. You get to break the box every single time you meet him. And Jesus loves it. Jesus loves it. It's no longer that we're separated. If you can't think of a reason to give up your box for Jesus, let me read you this scripture. I'm glad that you thought that. It says this. Jesus has made peace with everything in heaven and on earth, and it was done by the means of his blood on the cross. This includes you. This is you, everybody. You were once far away from God. You were his enemy. Who, me? I didn't do anything to God. Oh, this is the word. You were his enemy. You were separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. You are only reconciled to God because Jesus sacrificed and broke his box for you. For you. Why? Because he loves you more than you could ever, ever imagine. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. The presence that I feel right now standing here. He's brought us in, and we are holy and blameless as we stand before him without a single fault. If there's no other reason to break your box for God tonight in worship, it's because we can stand here completely blameless in sight of the Creator God. None of us on our own were worthy. Were you? We were separated from him, but he gave us his blood on the cross, and we're never separated again. That is reason enough, you guys, to me, to give him my life, to give him my heart, to give him everything I have, to go through the hard stuff. He's worth it. He already did it for me. I will gladly break my box for him. I will gladly pour all I have out on him just to show him I love him. Like he said for her. He said, she's shown me much love. She gave me all she had. Can you give him all you have in worship? What does that mean for you? I want you to think about it just for a second. What's that mean for you? The Holy Spirit's talking to you right now. I know he is, about what that means for you. It doesn't look like what it does for the person sitting next to you. It doesn't look the same for me. And you know what? It's not about anybody else. It's only about him right now. We're going to take time again, and we're going to be with him. We're going to let him talk to us. We're going to get face to face with him. We're going to listen to what he says. We're going to feel his presence. We're going to encounter Jesus. He's been waiting all week for this. Bring your best. Bring all of you. And I'm going to say it again. This is not about the person next to you ever. It's about you and it's about him. It's about you and it's about him. It's about you and it's about him. If you're ready to worship, I want you to come up here. Purpose in your heart when you come. Come when you're ready. If you're not, stay in your seat if you want. But come when you're ready.